least three notable rescues that, without assistance of the Alaska Marine Highway System's crew, could have meant the loss of life.
State Ferries get an award for last year's Skagway Rescue and news from Southeast Conference Mid-Session Summit. It's the Cage Nest Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. A village corporation's petition to manage a Chatham Strait fishery goes before the Federal Subsistence Board this week. Kutznoo Incorporated says state-managed commercial fishing is hurting subsistence harvests near Angoon. It's petitioned the board to assert authority over waters near the West Admiralty Island community. Commercial and sport fishermen who use the area are closely watching what's called an extraterritorial jurisdiction petition. The Federal Subsistence Board meets Wednesday through Friday at Juneau's Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall. It'll also hear presentations on Southeast sea otter issues and the Interior's 40-mile caribou harvest plan. Also on the agenda is a proposal from the Kuskokwim Native Association requesting recognition of customary and traditional uses of moose. The meeting will be teleconferenced. Call 1-888-455-5897 to listen. The code to testify is 3344290. Links to the agenda and petition are at our website with this newscast. A roadmap for Southeast Alaska energy development is meeting some resistance from the Southeast Conference. The regional organization's Energy Committee passed a resolution last week supporting parts of the state-funded Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan. But it called for continued work toward a regional electrical grid, which the draft plan calls too expensive. Committee Chairman Merrill Sanford of Juneau says the Alaska Energy Authority plan lacks some important elements.
This is not a fix-all by any means, but I think we're at a crossroads here, and we have to do something. We have to move forward with something.
The resolution calls for construction of 5 hydropower plants, Sitka's Blue Lake, Ketchikan's Whitman Lake, Heidelberg's Reynolds Creek, Angoon's Thayer Lake, and Huna's Gartina Creek. It also supports 2 new power lines, one from Petersburg to Cake, the other from Metlakatla to Ketchikan. But many at the meeting objected to its emphasis on wood-powered space heaters as a way to reduce electrical demand. Angoon Mayor Albert Howard said biomass energy should not replace long-planned, much-needed power lines and plants.
You talked about a Johnny-come-lately project, biomass is it. Where did that come from? Southeast Conference has talked about intertides for years, and all of a sudden, we got biomass.
The resolution supports wood-powered energy, especially as part of Southeast timber industry, but it makes other projects a higher priority. It also calls for full funding for studies of other hydro projects, and it emphasizes the need to build region-wide electrical interties, including a cross-border link to Canada's power grid. The full Southeast Conference Board of Directors will take up the measure before the plan's March 19th comment deadline. The draft plan was developed by an Alaska Energy Authority contractor. The state's Marine Transportation Advisory Board has added its voice to a legislative citation commending the Alaska Marine Highway System, partly for a rescue conducted near Skagway. The citation came from the office of Representative Bill Thomas, a Haines Republican, and was approved by the House. It was presented to Ferry Chief Mike Newsel during last week's Southeast Conference meeting in Juneau. Thomas' aide, Cecile Elliott, read from the document.
Every year, alert crews assist those in trouble on land and sea. In 2011, there were at least 3 notable rescues that, without assistance of the Alaska Marine Highway System's crew, could have meant the loss of life.
In one case, the Malaspina rescued a hiker who had fallen off a cliff near Skagway. In another, the Fairweather helped a boat that lost power close to a reef near Huna. In the third, the Fairweather took a severely ill woman from a protected cove to Juneau. The citation also praised ferry staff for helping sick or injured passengers. Marine Transportation Advisory Board Chairman Robert Venables of Haines added his voice to the praise.
We're very, very pleased with the level of support that the Alaska Marine Highway System lends to not just the transportation side of things, but public safety. And we see that their efforts in the region have made a big impact.
Newsel accepted the citation on behalf of the ferry system and its employees. About a half dozen Alaska communities will see increased ferry service in the near future. Two are in the southwest part of the state. The rest are in southeast. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Two small communities near Kodiak will be the newest Alaska Marine Highway ports. One is Ouzinki on Spruce Island, about 10 miles northwest of Kodiak. The other is Old Harbor, about 70 miles to the southwest of the island's biggest city. Ferry Chief Mike Neusel says Ouzinki's new dock is under construction.
Ouzinki will likely happen as soon as the fendering system gets completed. That'll happen this spring with service to Kodiak a couple times a month. And Old Harbor, we're still looking at the options for how to provide that service, but they have a dock that's ready to go, and it's compatible with all of our ships.
The state estimates each town has about 200 residents. In southeast, the new Rainforest Islands ferry plans to begin service mid-July. It will connect Prince of Wales Island's Kaufman Cove to Wrangell, Petersburg, Myers Chuck, and Saxman, which is next to Ketchikan. Marketing coordinator Heather Hedges told the Southeast Conference's Transportation Committee that the one-ship system will target tourists as well as locals.
We're going to try and develop itineraries on the website to help people ride in one direction on the Rainforest Islands ferry and leaving Hollis on the IFA. Travel loops between Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg will also be marketed. We're hoping to capture not only our own market share, but help to increase traffic on both IFA and AMHS.
The Kaufman Cove-based North End Port Authority is buying and overhauling the 160-foot-long ship, which will carry about 70 passengers and 14 vehicles. It will provide the first regular ferry service to Myers Chuck, with a few dozen residents about 40 miles northwest of Ketchikan. The Rainforest Islands Ferry is a new service that will replace the Inter-Island Ferry Authority's northern route. That linked Kaufman Cove to Wrangell and Petersburg for several summers, but ended because ridership was small. The IFA continues to sail one of its two ships between Ketchikan and Hollis on Prince of Wales Island. General Manager Dennis Watson says money's been tight, but business may be on the way up.
We are providing service. We're still doing it 7 days a week. You know, we're making it. We're hoping for better things. The economy on the island looks a little better, at least in Craig. It looks a little better than it did the year before. We have some positive sales tax quarters, and hopefully the visitor industry is going to pick up.
The authority hopes to reduce costs by selling its second ship to the state. The Inter-Island Ferry Authority and the North End Port Authority are independent from the Alaska Marine Highway System. The state system, meanwhile, has released a draft schedule for fall of this year and winter and spring of next year. Officials are taking written comments through March 22nd and will hold a public teleconference March 27th. Marine Operations Deputy Commissioner Neusel says he wants ferry users to know they can have a say.
The one thing that I frequently hear when people call to complain about the schedule is that they didn't know that a public process existed for them to weigh in up front before that schedule ever got published.
Most of the schedule's changes involve ships undergoing maintenance or overhaul and other ships assigned to fill in. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
There's one more book to read before summer break.
The last one is A Death in the Family by James Agee.
Alexander Feit and the Haynes Library Book Club have discussed one book each month since fall. The ever-changing group meets one more time to discuss the autobiographical novel set in Tennessee, A Death in the Family, on Saturday at 3 p.m.
It's really fun to talk about books with other people. I find that it changes how I read, and it makes it, it's more of a private activity that turns into a social activity.
The group's recent picks have included Shadow of the Wind by Carlos Ruiz Zafón, Song of Solomon by Toni Morrison, and The Good Earth by Pearl Buck, to name just a few of the eight read over the winter. Most of the books are Pulitzer Prize winners, but the book club also has a goal of providing books at low or no cost to readers.
We mostly choose the ones we had because we were able to find multiple copies and offer them for a dollar to the people that came to the book club, rather than having people buy their, you know, a brand new book. And we wanted to make it accessible to people. It worked out great because they were very eclectic. And then a couple of them were from the school. And so, we read Skeletons on the Sahara. That was a school book. And then this book was a book that the school was actually they were getting rid of this group of books for whatever reason, so we were able to give them away for free.
The club has hosted about 10 people at each month's discussion at the library, from people in their 20s to people in their 70s.
There's been sort of a core group that has, you know, not everybody's made every meeting, but that has kind of shifted back and forth with new people just about every single time as well. So it's been really, really fun. It's been a great group, and it's been a great conversation, and it's, you know, very eclectic, and so it's very interesting. And a lot of us don't know each other, so it's, for me, it's been a great way to just meet some people I've seen around that I didn't really know and get to talk about books with them.
This is the final book for the book club before they break for summer. If anyone's interested in running the informal book club next year, or if they have book suggestions, talk to Alexandra at the library. The group discussion for A Death in the Family is at 3 p.m. this Saturday at the Haynes Library. It lasts about an hour. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Want to stay in touch with family and friends out of town? Why not send them a link to your local news? Past news reports, along with photos, are kept at khns.org under the local news.